Our New Testament reading this morning is in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and that's page 1150 if you're following along in the Pew Bibles. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 19. This is the Word of God. Paul says, "Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body. I make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." And we end our reading at verse 27. May God bless his word to us. As has been announced in the bulletin for the past few weeks, today we want to think a little bit about the proposed building project, which we've been made aware of. A brochure has been given to every house. The session thought that it would be good if I reminded us of our vision as the church here going forwards, and how the proposed changes emphasize and keep this vision and facilitate this vision, especially of lives being changed. Some of what I say today will have been heard a while ago, whenever we had our first information evening, but there's a lot more I wish to say. Ultimately, all that we do should be to honor God. In that little Old Testament passage we read earlier, we heard that the temple they were building was not for the Israelites. No, this temple was for God. It was to honor God. It was to worship God. It was to serve God and his purposes. And that should be the intention of this building as it exists and what is proposed. All that we do must be to honor God, and we do that best when we win people for Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 9, Paul makes a very radical statement which shows the driving force of his mission, the driving force of his ministry. In verse 22, he says, "I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some." Paul, in a sense, was a bit like a chameleon. Just as a chameleon can change color to blend into the environment, so Paul would change. He didn't forsake or sacrifice his core vision or beliefs or principles, but for the sake of winning people to Christ, he would change. He would adapt to the culture. The missionaries call it contextualization. Adapting to the culture to win the culture. But mission drove Paul. Winning people for Jesus drove Paul. The honor of God drove Paul. And so it should be for us as well. God has placed us in this particular culture at this particular time. And all that we do, and certainly what we do and how we use this building, should be to reach others for Jesus. Buildings are not everything, of course, but they are important, especially in our climate. Buildings are important to us as human beings. We spend a lot of time in buildings. We give a lot of our attention and our money to buildings. People, when they're going out for coffee, they tend to go to a building. When they're going to school, they go to a building. When they go to university, they go to a building. When they go to a cinema, they go to a building. When they go out shopping, they go to buildings. When they go to out for eating and drinking, they go to buildings for socializing. Buildings are important to human beings. It's part of what it makes us human. One of the mistakes the Old Testament worshiper made, and sometimes we can make this mistake also, is to think that God is confined to a building. He's not. He's bigger than any building. But of course, a building can help us to worship God. It can help us to identify with God. This building in which we sit and stand has been built to serve God and people in this town and community, and it has done a great job in that. When it was built in 1976, it was very much ahead of its time. And I have no doubt at all that this building has helped tremendously in the witness and the mission and the ministry of High Kirk Congregation. But as in everything in life, standards change, needs can change, and improvements are made. And we know this, don't we? Because many of us make improvements to our own buildings. I'm sure over the past 40 years, many of us have upgraded our buildings in various ways, double glazing here, a new kitchen there. We upgrade all the time. I see it. Conservatories, sunrooms, new bathrooms. We don't seem to have any problem in upgrading our homes. We upgrade our phones. The phone only seems to last 2 or 3 years before we're upgrading it. Our cars. Yes, we know that buildings are important. Upgrading is important. We do it. We do it sometimes without thinking. Under Russell's tenure, and certainly under mine, we have tried to devote and divert as much money as possible to personnel, but there comes times when you have to upgrade and update the fabric of the building, and that has been done over the years and continues to be done. And what we are looking at and what we are facing, of course, may involve special giving, because it's a lot of money, it's a significant investment. But that's just the issue with our culture, and buildings, they do cost money. Buildings are important. But you know, buildings are not the whole story, because it's what goes on in the building which is more important. This is a primary resource for the changing of lives. And while God is not confined to a building, and our mission and witness is not confined to a building, in my experience, this building and other church buildings are used greatly in discipleship. They are used in mission and ministry. And it's great to have buildings to invite people to when we're running things like Cafe Church or the Beacon or Sunday service. Because people's lives are changed as they come into this building, and that's great, and we want to see that continue. Sometimes we're concerned about buildings and we can say, well, perhaps the money could be better spent elsewhere. I was reading some observations recently by a team of pastors who were visiting some of the most thriving churches. And in each of these thriving churches, one of the common themes was that they had very big buildings. And some of them set in quite poor communities. And their observation was this: in the case of these churches with large buildings, rather than being a barrier to the poor, their facilities enabled them to help the poor. Facilities release and resource vision. They allow churches to grow and diversify and provide the space where a church can interact with the community, providing opportunities for connection that would not otherwise exist. The issue, you see, is not the building. The issue is not even how much the building is. The issue is, what is the building being used for? Is it being used for mission and ministry? And what I want us to reflect on for the rest of our time are some emphases, some values, some things that in our culture I think are important things that we need to lean into. And where I see the proposed improvements helping us to keep the vision as we reach the culture in which we have been placed, as we seek to become all things to all men, that we might reach some. How might we facilitate this with the proposed building? Well, I want to leave 6 things with you very quickly. to show the way things are changing and adapting and how we need to change and adapt with them. First of all, we are moving from hidden to visible. As a whole, the building becomes more welcoming externally, outward looking, transparent, and this is important today when people are reluctant to enter church buildings. Good as our building is, especially at this end, it is a very imposing building. It's a very intimidating, fortress-like building. And we need to make it as easy as possible when people are considering coming, that they know clearly where to come in, that they know clearly what is going on, as clear as possible. Clear signposting, clear entrances, a modern look that says, we are here for you to engage this generation. As I'm walking around the town, as I'm walking and seeing new buildings being put up and improvements being made, it is fascinating how much it's all about glass frontages. That's what happens today. That's what people do. It's about trying to attract people. I was in a butcher's the other day, and for the first time ever, I saw television in the butcher's. Never seen that before. You probably know, some of you maybe go to that butcher's. Very good butcher's. But they're thinking, how can we make the visiting experience better for the customer? And they're just trying to shift meat. We're shifting the bread of life. Are we thinking about our customers? So we move from hidden to visible. That is so important today. Secondly, we move from passive to interactive. A major shift we are seeing in our culture is the desire to be interactive, to be part of the experience, to be involved, engaged. Now, there will always be room for teaching in rows, but that actually facilitates me more than you. But more and more we're finding this generation, and we see this in Cafe Church, where people are more wanting to ask questions. Why do you say that? Why do you believe that? And so there's this interactivity. It's actually a more intimidating environment, Cafe Church, and yet people seem to want to go there because they can ask questions and they can engage. A meal, relationship building, small groups, interactive discussion, these are all ways in which we seek to reach this culture. And again, I'm convinced that the way we're trying to reshape the building slightly and new small rooms helps with discipleship, helps with teaching English, yes, it helps with GB and BB. But it helps also in providing that space for people who want to come and to be prayed with or to be counseled. And in our current climate, I can see this need growing. And so we've even built in a little bit of future-proofing for this. To design the building in ways which facilitates relationship. And that's very much what the social space would do at the heart of this building. I'm also delighted at the move to have a more dedicated prayer space and prayer room, because that says that there's a priority there. Now, we do have weeks of prayer and 24/7 prayer, but how great it would be for the future generation that we keep encouraging people to gather together to pray, to say this is an important priority for us as a church. A value from hidden to visible, from passive to interactive. Thirdly, from moving, a bit like this, from rows to circles, which again builds on this point. There will always be the need for people to be taught in rows. But again, we want to help people, encourage people to tease it out, to think it through, to think, well, why is that being said? It's the move from lecture hall to living room, if you like. Moving from church being a cold institution to a warm family. And these are values which resonate with today's generation. At the heart of this vision lies the social space in the foyer and the minor hall area. And I know some people can't get their heads around this. But actually, I see this as the potential to be the room that has most potential in terms of reaching this generation. Because in the sort of society that we're moving into, it's not just social space, it's ministry space. Whenever you get people together, gathered around a table, beginning to talk, things start to open up, things start to happen. And so this space is a welcoming hub at the heart of the church building, a place that is open and comfortable, available for people of all ages, the potential to be a coffee space, yes, a fellowship space on Sundays, but so much more, an evangelistic space for Alpha or Christianity Explored, a space for those who are maybe retired to come and meet together. Perhaps in the summer, maybe even with smaller congregation in summer evenings, maybe even we'll meet out there because it's a nice mid-sized flexible space. Who knows? You see, a few years ago, whenever we changed and upgraded the Oasis, we had no idea about Cafe Church. Nobody was thinking about Cafe Church, or I was a little bit. And now today it's used for that. Who knows what that space could be used for in future? Who knows what God is doing? But I have no doubt that as we provide the space, as we pray about it, as we open ourselves up to God, there's no telling of the potential. But what I love is that at the heart, at the center of this building, becomes a hub, a welcoming hub, which says, this is for you. Here is where you are welcome. Now, of course, it means that we must be welcoming also as people. It's a case of both and. Moving from hidden to visible, from passive to interactive, from rows to circles. Fourthly, moving from being in the community to belonging to the community. And some might find this a bit controversial. One of the common threads of the churches that are growing in the Western culture today are the churches that are seen as belonging to the community, where everyone is welcome. In years gone by, years and years ago, in many towns and villages, the church was often the hub of the community. It was the heart, and people saw it as their church, as their community building. Those days have gone. But there's no reason why they can stay gone, because they can come back again. As we say that this church is not for us, it's for the next generation, yes, but it's also for the people who are not yet here. It's for the people who are not yet born. It's for the people who are out in the community, who are outside the walls. Sometimes I hear comments, and I understand the comments, of people who say, look, I'm one of the older generation, and yes, I've quite a good disposable income, and I could give to this project. But I don't see the younger generation giving to it. The younger generation don't seem to give. And what I would say to that is, well, you should still give. And in fact, the younger generation should give. And in fact, some of the younger generation need to get their fingers out. Because you're so obsessed with upgrading your own home. You're so obsessed with upgrading your cars and your phones that you're not giving to the Lord's work and to the work of mission. But setting that aside, that's another sermon. For those of us who are older, I count myself, and those of us who are older, who have a bit of disposable income, doing quite well, we should give to this. Because what we're doing is we're giving to mission. We're giving to reach those people who are not yet here. Never mind the younger generation. There's many of a generation outside these walls who are not yet in here. Many who are not even born. And Paul says, I will do many things, I will make many sacrifices of money and status for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of winning others for the gospel. He's not necessarily thinking about the blessing to himself. That's what we do. We think, what's my blessing? What do I get out of this? Well, the blessing we get is that the gospel is preached. The blessing we get is that there are more people come through these doors now, through the week, than ever before, who do not know Jesus. That's the blessing, that's the reward, that people are hearing and being influenced, and they're in this place. And some of them are even considering this to be their church. They're not actually members here, but saying, I'm going to my church. Because they feel that this church belongs to them. And that's quite a mindset shift for many of us, because we feel this church belongs to us. And that needs to change. And we say, this building is not for us. It's for them. It's for the community. It's to reach those who do not yet know Jesus. And that's a subtle but a very important mind shift. So yes, when we give our sacrifices, when we give our money, when we give, maybe not even seeing an immediate return and certainly not a blessing to us, that's good. And I say amen to that. Paul said he did not want any obstacle to hinder the preaching and the communicating of the gospel. He sacrificed money, time, reputation. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. And as we make sacrifices for the gospel, whatever those may be, we should be willing to, proud to, because the gospel is being preached, because God is being honored, and that's a good enough reward. And the important thing is that the improvements that we consider serve those ends. If I believed these proposals did not serve that end, I would oppose them. But I believe they do. And that they will help this community to see that this is their building. It's not just for us. From being in to belonging to the community. Two things to briefly say in closing. Fifthly, we are moving from Sunday to 7 days. So many churches just operate on a Sunday. They open the door on Sunday morning, they close the door on Sunday evening, that's it. Some of the churches that have been doing that for years are now finding they're not even opening on a Sunday because there's nobody there. And they're vacant. The churches are dusty and cold and empty. I said the other week that one of the comments Tina, our cleaner, made was that this building is getting busier through the week. Well, I think that's great. Now, that has implications. It has implications for cleaning. It has implications for volunteers. It has implications for staff. But I think it's great. In days when churches are being shut up and locked and being sold off, we're moving from Sunday to 7 days, people coming through this building. And I think that's brilliant. And I would love to see more of it. And as we have that welcoming hub at the heart of this building, it says we're open for business. We're not closed. We believe in what we preach and what we teach, and as we show people, this is a great resource. Why waste a great resource? Sixthly, finally, we're moving from membership to ministry. Very much at the part of the session's vision is moving members to become ministers. One of the things I love about this congregation, and it's showing how the vision is being fulfilled, is that people will come to me and they say, Norman, I've got an idea. And it's not the staff member, and it's not the elders are coming with these ideas, it's the ordinary members who are turning into ministers and missionaries, and they're saying, I've got an idea. And I say, that's great, as long as you've got the people to help you run this idea, and I would love to give you more space for you to run this idea if it involves this building. And we're getting to the stage where people are coming to me and saying, I've got this idea, I've got this idea. And I said, well, I'm sorry, we can't fit you in. We've no more space. And I'd love to be able to facilitate that. Because many of the ideas are about mission and about reaching our community and serving our community and loving our community. We're moving from membership to ministry as we equip. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about equipping the people to do the work of ministry. A few months ago, someone came to me, someone who doesn't belong to this congregation, a very spiritual lady. She knew nothing about our building proposals. And she said, Norman, the Lord has laid on my heart a verse for you. She said, I don't know why, but she's laid on my heart a verse. God has given me this verse. It's Isaiah 54 and 2. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. And she said, have you any idea what that's about? And I said, well, I have a fair idea. And I think God is saying, I like what you're doing, church. Strengthen the stakes, lengthen the cords, keep doing what you're doing here and also in Hope House as we seek to change a community, as we seek to influence not only this end of the town, but even further afield. Keep going. Keep being faithful. And it's not about the money, because actually it's not that much compared to what we really could afford. Sounds like a lot. But when we add up our holidays, when we add up our upgrades, when we add up what we spend on our own buildings, I think it would shock us. We're moving from hidden to visible, from passive to interactive, from rows to circles, from being in the community to belonging to the community. The community is saying, this is our church. From Sunday to 7 days, from membership to ministry. And I believe that what we're doing facilitates that. As we become all things to all people, that we might win some. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for the visions that you give to us. But we so much want to follow your heart and your will, because unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build. And unless we abide in Jesus Christ, nothing that we do will have any eternal value. And so as this congregation in a couple of weeks deliberates, prays, votes, we pray that your will would be done and clearly seen to be done, so that we know you have spoken. And for all of us, myself included, we pray for unity in the Spirit, but we pray for clarity and an openness and a softness to your Spirit and what you're doing. And to you be the glory, both now and forevermore.